In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know if any of us have been in the desert. I know I have, and probably one or two of you also have been. And I'm sure you remember the sand, the rocks, the sun, the barrenness. And here in our passage, we find John the Baptist in the desert. The River Jordan must run through this part of the desert because we find him by the River Jordan. People, crowds of people seem to have come out to see him. And he is preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But before we go any further, let's just remind ourselves of this passage in Luke chapter 3. We notice that it starts stating the historical circumstances. Much in the same way as in the Old Testament, the prophets were introduced very often with some statement of the time that they lived. And we also find that the word of God comes to John the Baptist. Again, much like the prophets of the past. And he is preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. But Luke doesn't leave it there. He quotes one of these prophets. In fact, he takes the quotation from Isaiah chapter 40 and applies the first part to John. A voice of one crying in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. And of course, John was doing just that, preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we read the rest of Luke's gospel, we can find out a great deal more about the person and character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then this preparation is spoken in terms of road building. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way smooth. And then after that, we read, all mankind will see God's salvation. We may well wonder, what is this salvation that Luke is referring to, which we find in this prophecy from Isaiah? Well, if we have any doubt, we only have to go back to the chapter before. Because you remember that story when Jesus was taken into the temple as a baby by his mother and father, and there was Simeon and Anna there. And remember, Simeon took hold of the baby. And just think for a moment, when you take hold of someone's baby, you don't normally look straight ahead of you, you actually look at the baby itself. And then we find that Simeon says, my eyes have seen your salvation, he prays. My eyes have seen your salvation. So we find that this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, this great salvation. And of course, if we turn through Luke, we can find that one of the major themes is that of salvation. But today, I'd like us to concentrate on these words, repentance and forgiveness of sins. We'll just deal with repentance and then very briefly just mention forgiveness of sins. John preached a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. What do we mean by that word repentance? It's one which we often come across in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. We find the thought there. Well, we could define it as turning away from evil and turning to God in faith. And as we said, we often do think of those prophets of the Old Testament calling the people away from their idols, away from their wrong way of living, and to turn to God. But it's not something that we just find in the Old Testament. In fact, Jesus, just two chapters further on, speaks of his ministry as coming to call sinners to repentance. In chapter 13, we find that he addresses the crowd and calls them to repent. After his death and resurrection, his ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit, we find that the apostles also went out with a similar message. If we turn to Paul, for example, in Acts, when he goes to Athens, he tells them that God commands all men everywhere to repent. And just in case we should think that this was something for that period in time, we ought to remind ourselves that each week in our prayers, we say, we are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. So what does repentance involve? Well, surely if we stop and think about it, it involves thought and decision. We remember that John the Baptist, he addresses the crowd, and then they're concerned, the soldiers and the tax collectors and the crowd, they ask, what shall we do? And we find that John has thought about what repentance would mean for them. He describes to them what it involves in order to be repentant. If we think of the parable of the prodigal son, you know that story. The boy takes his father's money. He goes off to a far-off land. He squanders it on wild living. And at this point, I don't suppose he's really thinking very much at all. He's just enjoying spending this money and living his life away. But then the money runs out. There's a famine in the land. And then what happens? We read that he comes to his senses. He starts to think. And then he starts to think about his father's house, how the hired servant, the hired hand, has food to eat and much more. And so he decides to return to his father and say that I have sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you, I'm not worthy to be called your son, please take me back as your hired hand. Repentance involves thought and decision. And of course that means us as well when we come to consider our repentance, that we need to think of our life in the light of Scripture and also decide to turn away from those wrong things. We can think of our attitudes, our attitude to God. Do we live for His glory? Do we trust Him? Are we always worrying about what will happen to our life, or our property, or our money, or our children? Are we people who are thankful to God? Or are we always grumbling and complaining about our life and feeling it is so hard and it is so difficult, rather than give thanks to God? And what about our attitude to others? Do we seek to love them as we love ourselves? To be kind and considerate? To look out for their interests as well as our own? And we can think of our actions to God. Do we give generously of our time and our money and of our gifts? Or are we trying just to give as little as possible? And our actions to other people, do we ever lie? Do we ever steal? Do we ever try and deceive? Or get it caught up in malicious gossip or slander or any of those wrong things? And what about our actions in our own life? Do we have any secret sins? Things we don't want others to know about. Things that we do, which we do know are wrong. Repentance involves thinking about our lives and deciding to turn away from those things that are wrong. But it doesn't just involve thought and decision. It also means that there must be real change. John spoke to some of the crowd. He said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. These people here were listening to John, but they didn't really change. They spoke of repentance. They used the right vocabulary, but there was no real change. They made excuses. We're Jews. We have Abraham as our descendant. And we too can sometimes make excuses. We know what's wrong with our life. We decide to change, but we don't really do it. Think for a moment of Zacchaeus. After he met Jesus, he not only decided to change, but he did change, giving away half his wealth to those in need. And if he had afforded anyone of their money, he gave four times as much. And we can think of other examples, such as Saul, who persecuted the church and became Paul, who then was involved in building it up. But also let us consider forgiveness of sins. John preached a message of repentance for forgiveness of sins. When we look at this, we notice that it is in the context of Christ and this great salvation. John is preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophecy, as we mentioned, refers to this salvation of God, which we understand as Christ. When we turn to the end of Luke's Gospel, we find that Jesus speaks the same message and speaks of this message being taken out to all nations. The message of repentance for forgiveness of sins in my name, he says. And then when we turn to the book of Acts, the second volume of Luke's work, we find the apostles doing just that, taking out this great message of salvation in Jesus Christ, of which forgiveness of sins is all part of this, how we enter into it by repentance and faith. And it's interesting, when we come to the end of Acts, that we read again about this salvation, going to the Gentiles, going and these Gentile people, we are told, will listen. Paul is preaching the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great message that we find the church took out in these early days. That of salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, which we enter in through repentance and faith. Let us just remind ourselves what we said. We said that repentance involves thought and decision, but it must involve real change. And we also said that forgiveness of sins is to be understood in the context of this great salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that his life and ministry involves. Each week we pray these words: we are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. May we really mean these words.